Good morning, Mosaic. Or should I say, ahoy, mateys. Romans is my favorite book because it starts with the letter R. This has gotten super well so far. I am excited to be with you guys today because as we do close in on the end of the book of Romans, it is just kind of that moment where we're recognizing that this has been a year and a half long journey, and it's been pretty amazing so far. I mean, if you've been traveling with us for a while, you know that it has been an incredible journey, week after week after week, experience the incredible nature of the good news of who Jesus is. And if you're kind of new to the story here at Mosaic, I would encourage you to go back through and podcast and listen through the book of Romans, because this has been such an incredible journey as we've walked through not just what the good news of the gospel is, not just what Jesus did as he came and lived and died and resurrected from the dead, but the implications of the gospel and what that means right here, right now, even in 2018 in Central Florida. It's been an incredible journey. And as the Apostle Paul gets ready to close out this epic letter that he has written to the church in Rome, as Paul has intentionally and carefully unpacked the good news and the beauty of the gospel, as he gets close to closing out this book, he wants to remind the Romans of some really, really, really important stuff. As he gets close to closing out this book, he's about to tell the Romans, listen, this good news that I've shared with you, it is so good. This is incredible news, and I don't want anything at all in the world to spoil it. Have you ever been in a situation where you have something exciting or some really good news, or maybe like a surprise birthday party that you're getting ready to throw, and you just know someone's going to ruin it and you're all nervous about it? And that's kind of that moment that Paul is feeling, that this good news, the gospel, is so incredible, he doesn't want anything to spoil it. I've been married for 3 years now. And as I was preparing to propose to my wife, she is my wife now, spoiler alert, she said yes. Can you believe it? Even with pirate jokes and all. She said yes, but as I was prepping to propose to her, I had this elaborate plan, of course, and I was so excited about asking her to marry me, and there was so much anticipation, and I had put so much effort and energy and work into making it an incredibly special day, and I had a lot of help from a lot of friends, and I told a lot of lies in the process. They were sanctified lies because it was for her good, right? And so I told lots of lies, and I was making sure all of the details, the intricate things. I mean, I thought about everything I possibly could, and I just wanted to make sure that it was the most special day for her possible, and I wanted it to be a surprise. And I proposed on November 1st, and the day that comes before November 1st is October 31st, which is Reformation Day, and it's also Halloween. And I love Halloween, and the reason why I love Halloween is because it's the only holiday where non-believers will come and knock on your door. So you got to have the best candy, because we are sons and daughters of the King. And so we want to love people well in our neighborhoods. And so I love Halloween. So I was with my soon fiance to be, with my girlfriend and her parents at her parents' house, and we were in their neighborhood giving out candy. And one of Lauren's childhood friends walks up to say hello to Lauren and says, "Congratulations! I heard you were engaged." And I was like, "I'll kill you." In my head, that's what I said. But in my face, I'm like, "No, we're just dating, you know?" And like, oh no, please don't let this tip her off. Please don't let this ruin the surprise. Don't let this ruin the good news. And thankfully, it didn't ruin it for her. And we had our magical day the next day, and it all was well. But at the end of the book of Romans, this is really what Paul is trying to say, is this thing, this gospel thing, is the most exciting thing that has ever happened in human history. And I want us to all have our understanding of this gospel, this good news, so clear in our minds that nothing can spoil it. And that's where we find ourselves today in the book of Romans. Let's grab our Bibles. Romans chapter 16. Man, we are so close to the end. It's bittersweet for sure. Page 1052, if you have one of the Mosaic Bibles, the beautiful blues, and if you are using a smart device, you will find Romans 16 very easily, but it's in the English Standard Version. Romans chapter 16, starting in verse 17, Paul says, I appeal to you. That's his way of saying, I'm begging you. This is so important. Don't miss this. This matters deeply. He says, I appeal to you, brothers, fellow believers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles. How? Contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught, and I want you to avoid them. So Paul, as he is concluding Romans, says, listen, this is really important. I want to appeal to you to watch out, to pay attention for those who by their teaching, by their doctrines, by their truths, would put divisions in between you and would put obstacles in front of you that would spoil this good news that I have painstakingly explained to you and that you currently know and are living out because you are my brothers in Christ in Rome. Paul is saying, this stuff matters so much. I'm making an appeal to you. I'm begging to you not to allow them to cause division, not to allow anyone to put an obstacle in your way as you seek to live out this good news. Because the good news of Jesus unifies. That's the very nature of what the gospel does. Paul has taken a lot of time to unpack the reality of the fact that we, as the human race, tend to be divided. That we tend to look at one another and size up each other's differences and figure out how we are superior to the next guy. And Paul has taken so much time to say, no, we're actually very alike as a human race. That all have sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death, but that the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul's taken so much time to say, listen, you and I are actually in the same boat. Sinking ship. The cannonballs have flown through the side, and we are sinking together because we've all sinned against a righteous and holy and good God. But the gift of God in Jesus is eternal life. This is good news, but it puts us together in the same place. And it unifies us, recognizing that no matter who we are, young or old, or male or female, rich or poor, Jew or Gentile, in our context, black or white or Hispanic or Asian, it doesn't matter who we are, how we've grown up, what our gender is, or what our job is, that we are all human beings created in the image of God. We are image bearers of God, but because we've rebelled, because we've sinned, we've fallen short of the glory of God and have been made enemies of God. But in Christ, we can be made united with God again, and in that, we can be united with one another. And so Paul says, watch out for anyone who's going to share anything with you that is going to cause a division, because the gospel is meant to unify. And the gospel is meant to set you free. Paul's taken a lot of time to unpack this incredible reality that though we were bound to our sin, though we were indebted because of the sin that we committed against God, Jesus came to seek and save those of us who are lost, to free us to live a life that we were always designed to live, a life that is in obedience to our Creator, that is in connection to our Creator, that is in relationship with our Creator. And Paul says, I don't want you to allow anyone to put any obstacle in your way as you seek to follow Jesus and live the life that he died and rose again to give you as you put your faith in him. So watch out for these people, and I want you to be careful, because if anything is being taught that is contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught by someone who claims to be a teacher, I want you to avoid them. It's kind of a big statement to make. When we recognize that Jesus, when he came, he said, I want you to know how to do this life and to live up to the commandments by loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself. It's a little strange to hear a command in the scripture that we ought to avoid them. And yet, as we look at the rest of the New Testament, we see other apostles echoing this sentiment. In 2 John, John, one of the apostles who wrote the book of John and 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John as well, says, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, the gospel, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting, for whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. Whoa. This is serious. And when we look at the life of Jesus, we recognize, well, actually, Jesus was the friend of sinners. He was spending time with the people who were least likely to be associated with. He was always talking to that woman no one would talk to. He was always allowing that person to come near to him, touching those who were unclean, spending time in the house of the chief tax collector. He was doing things that nobody would have ever done at that time. And yet, when you look at the interactions between Jesus and those who were teachers, who were leading people not closer to God, but away from God because they were putting so many burdens upon the people, those interactions with Jesus were a little awkward, weren't they? Conjures up images of Jesus fashioning a whip and getting ready to turn over tables in the temple. See, Jesus is good, Jesus is loving, but Jesus is not always necessarily nice. Especially when people who are teaching are leading people astray from a relationship with him. This is big stuff. This is a big deal. And so Paul is saying, don't let anyone spoil it. Be careful. Watch out for these people. And what's interesting is you study the book of Romans and as you study the overarching New Testament, the way that Paul writes the letters to the different churches, usually when he warns of false teaching, he's speaking to a specific heresy, a specific teaching that is going on, a specific falsehood that's going on within that local community. But here in Romans, it doesn't seem like that's actually happening at this moment. Paul is simply at the end of his letter saying, this is important. Don't let anyone spoil it. And so instead of talking about a specific teaching that might be coming from a false teacher, as he does in other letters, Paul begins to characterize what these types of people tend to look like. He says, for such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. So Paul characterizes what these types of people tend to do. That they're not serving Jesus. They're not a part of this family because they are serving their own appetites. They have their own agenda. They have their own motives. And they are leading people astray. You know, we live in 2018 and we have more information at our fingertips than any generation ever has before us. You can ask Alexa about Bible facts and she will tell you, right? It's crazy. We have so much information at our fingertips, and with that, we have so much opportunity to learn, so much opportunity to grow, so much opportunity to understand what is found in the scriptures, what is true about the gospel. We have an opportunity to live out an experience where we're not just waiting for Sunday or Thursday to roll around so Renaud or Joel or Brady or somebody can tell us what the Bible says, but you know you have the scriptures for yourself, and you can go look at them yourself, and you can go study them yourself, and you can learn about them yourself. And that's a beautiful freedom that we have in 2018. What an awesome thing that our generation gets to experience. And yet the dangerous side of that reality is not all information is good information. You can roll up into a Christian bookstore, which, do those still exist, or did Amazon already do it? It's too soon? Okay. You can go into a Christian bookstore, or you can go on Amazon and look at the Christian section, and not everything that you see is going to be helpful. Did you know that? There's a lot of garbage in those sections. There's a lot of false teachers in those sections. And Paul characterizes those so that we could be on the lookout and understand what it's going to look like when these false teachers begin to open their mouths. And what does he say? He says, "For such persons do not serve the Lord Christ, but their own appetites, and by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive." We need to be on our guard, and we need to be careful for teachers who are telling us more about what we want to hear than what is actually found in the scriptures. Because our hearts are naive. They are. I don't care how much training, schooling, studying you've done, your heart is naive. The Bible says the heart is deceptive above all things. And our hearts, as that song says, are prone to wander. Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. And we are prone to be deceived by things that are taught that we just want to hear because they feel good and make us feel like we're doing okay. Paul warns the Romans, don't let anyone spoil this. This stuff matters so much, and here's how I want your attitude to be. And he echoes the words of Jesus when he says, "But I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent as to what is evil." Jesus said, as he was sending out the 72 to go announce that the kingdom of heaven was at hand during his ministry, he said, "I'm sending you as sheep among wolves. And I want you to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves." And Paul is saying, I want you to be wise as to what is good, the gospel, the good news. It is the most good thing that you could ever know, so be wise to it. Understand it. Bathe in it. Learn about it. Spend time with brothers and sisters who can clarify it for you and help unify alongside them as you are learning the gospel together. That's why we do missional community at Mosaic. This is why we don't only do Sunday morning gatherings at Mosaic. This is why there are Bible studies throughout the weeks, that there are equipping classes, that there are women's groups and men's groups and people getting together around the scriptures, not just on Sunday morning, because we are prone to wander, aren't we? Paul says, I want you to be wise as to what is good, and I want you to be innocent as to what is evil. Paul is reminding us as he's closing out this book how important, how incredibly vital it is for us to embrace the good news of the gospel in our hearts and in our minds, and then to allow that to impact our lives so that we are living out not evil, but good. Remember, Paul has said, this is how we overcome evil. We never overcome evil with evil. Instead, we overcome evil with good. So be wise as to what is good and innocent as to what is evil, so that you can overcome evil with good. So helpful. So incredible. And Paul commends them in verse 19. He's saying, you're doing good. You're doing well. Verse 19, he says, "For your obedience is known to all. So I rejoice over you. You're doing great. But I want you to be wise, and I want you to be innocent." And then Paul gives us this promise and reminds us that though we stand in a moment where we have to be on guard, though we stand in a position where we are, yes, exposed to the good news, the best news of the gospel, that Jesus has come, that he has lived, that he has died, and that he has resurrected. We are in a moment of history where Jesus has come, but he has not yet come again. We stand in this moment in history along with the church in Rome. We stand in the same moment in history that they do. They were much earlier on in that history, 2,000 years earlier in that history, where they had seen that Jesus had come and lived and died and resurrected from the dead, but they were awaiting his return to finally conquer sin and death once and for all. And we're here in that same place, in that same moment in history right now, that we are in what theologians call the already not yet, where our future has been redeemed. Our soul has been rescued. But here we are in the moment where our purpose is restored. And that purpose is to live in the salvation that we have, knowing Jesus as Lord, full of the Holy Spirit, living on mission for the kingdom of God, so that everywhere we go, people would encounter who Jesus is. And here's the promise that this future redeemed looks like this, that the God of peace will soon, it hasn't happened yet, but it's coming soon. Anticipate it. Long for it. Wait for it. How soon is soon? I don't know. To the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. We've had a couple of days go by so far. I don't know when it's coming. But I want to anticipate that day. I want to long for that day. I want to look forward to that day. I want to wake myself up every single morning and I want to say, Jesus has already come, but he's not yet returned. And here I am, believing in him, full of faith in him, full of the power of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of me. And I'm going to go, and I'm going to share the good news of who he is with my life and with my words. I'm going to be a neighbor. I'm going to be a coworker. I'm going to be a husband. I'm going to be a brother. I'm going to be a son. I'm going to do everything I can do to respond to the mercy of God as we've been talking through, knowing that a promise has been given to me. Oh man, that the God of peace. I mean, we live in a world of such turmoil, of such brokenness, seeing what has happened to the Rivera family this week. It's heartbreaking. It's not right. And we know that there is something wrong with the world that we live in, and we long for the day that the God of peace will soon crush Satan under our feet. Amen? Amen? I long for that day. I look forward to that day. I await that day. But in the meantime, I know that the grace of the Lord Jesus will be with us. Isn't that such good news? It's such good news. And God is inviting us to participate in that good news. Paul continues by sending greetings from Timothy and Lucius and Jason and Sosipater and Tertius, who actually wrote the letter down for Paul, and Gaius and Erastus and Quartus. All these friends who are in Corinth and in Cenchreae, the city that was outside of Corinth, where Paul was probably penning the letter along with Tertius. All of these people are sending greetings to the church in Rome, saying, listen, we together as the body of Christ are in this moment where we are already redeemed by Jesus, and yet we have not seen it all come to pass. We have not seen the fullness of the implications of what Jesus has done. And we await for the day when he returns and that Satan will be crushed under our feet, and never again will there be mourning, never again will there be turmoil, loss, pain, fear, sin. It's all going to be gone because the enemy of God, Satan, will be crushed under our feet by our Lord Jesus Christ. So we together, church, if Paul were writing this to us, he would say, hey, me and my friends, we're greeting you. Mosaic, you're doing well. Keep doing it. Keep living it. It matters. It matters deeply. You're doing well. And I think that there's probably no better way for me to put an exclamation point on the end of that sentence, Mosaic, we are doing well, than to share with you a story. Nicole's story. Nicole is someone who we recently baptized here at Mosaic. As we've been walking through the gospel with Nicole, God's been up to some pretty amazing things. And it's not just because Renaud, our lead pastor, is a great preacher. It's not just because we've got some things going on stage besides the ships, like, you know, Jesus type things going on stage. It's because we as a church, the people of Mosaic Church, have been living out the gospel in their everyday lives, demonstrating it, sharing it. And the gospel, as Paul has declared in Romans 1:16, is the power of God unto salvation. That's why we have to keep it and protect it, because it is the only power of God unto salvation. I want you to listen in to Nicole's story. Take a look at this video.
What is it, sweetie? It's okay. Sorry. She doesn't like it when I cry. No, it's okay, baby. Mommy's just telling a story. I'm just telling a story. My name is Nicole Dill. I've been at Mosaic for a little over a year now. Had a crazy journey coming here. I didn't really have a relationship with God. And I was just searching out all of these new age things, energy healing, just all of this stuff that I thought was so right and so real. And all of that had, I mean, it had just completely destroyed my life. Through all of those dark times in Orlando, I had known Nisa, and she's a member of Mosaic. We got closer and closer, and she kept asking me to go to church. And at first I was, you know, really didn't want to go. And my husband didn't want me to go because he had his own resentments about the church. So I started coming and, you know, just kind of clinging onto Nisa's side. Like, I pulled into the driveway and I saw all these cars, and I'm driving in with this like giant Coexist sticker on the back of my car, and I felt so uncomfortable. I was like, these people are gonna think I'm crazy. And I wouldn't even go into the atrium because there were so many people. I waited for Nisa and then kind of walked in with her, and it was really intimidating at first. When I walked in, there was this giant sign across the stage that said Jesus and bright lights, and I was like, and I was just so overwhelmed. And then everybody started singing, and, you know, I wasn't sure if I believed any of it. I really didn't at the time. So I started reading the Bible, but I feel like it was more because I wanted to prove to myself that it wasn't real. Something started to change in me. It started to change my life from the inside out. It was like, before I even believed that Jesus was my savior, before I became a Christian, any of that, the Holy Spirit just kind of came home with me. And I noticed that I was happier, I was calmer, I was more patient. I felt this glowing warmth and happiness around me every day, and I knew that it was coming from church. My husband, his name is Jake, he lost his job and he had to contract overseas, so he actually still works over there. He's gone all the time, and he was gone then, and we had fallen out, and I felt so alone. My husband came home to visit after all of the, I mean, we were just, I don't even know how to explain where we were at. We were in a really, really dark place. And I don't even without God, we wouldn't have made it. But I brought him to church just so he could see what it was like and, you know, see that the people that were around Clara were really good people. And when he was home that time, he asked me why I wasn't giving up, and I just looked at him and I said, because I know there's hope. And that was the moment. That was my moment. That was what I knew. I knew that I wouldn't have had the strength. But Jesus gave me the strength. And after that moment, I decided that I was going to get baptized. And I decided that Jesus was going to be my life. Save my life. Save my marriage. It saved Clara's future. Everything. The story of our marriage is just, no one would ever have believed that we would be where we are right now. I didn't believe it. He didn't believe it. And we're happier and closer than we've ever been, and we have God in our life every day. We talk about everything. We pray, and we just really invited God into our lives. If you're going on your own desires and, you know, what you think is right, it's just going to be total destruction for you and everyone around you. Jesus has taught me how to live in a way to really love people and to really love my husband, really love my daughter. I will never go back.